Welcome and thanks for joining us. Our guests today are Bernie Mazur, the CIO of the Interior Department, Sean Torpy, the Director of Infrastructure and Operations Services at the FAA, Jeff Porter, he is Director of Platform Technologies in the CIO's office of Fairfax County, and John Kunzier, he's Forward Marketing Leader at Unisys, and Jason Kimry, Director of Federal Sales at Intel. Great to have you all with us today. And federal agencies are facing a big issue, a lot of big issues. They have to consolidate their data centers. They've got to move to the cloud, and not just federal agencies. I guess we should say the pressure is at state and local and county agencies also. And yet this is all easy for email, perhaps, or easier for email. But today we want to talk about mission critical systems and how we get those optimized, consolidated, moved to the cloud. So why don't we start with this question at the federal level? We have best practices being promulgated for consolidation. Why don't we start with Bernie Mazur of Interior? What are you doing with respect to consolidation, and what is your goal with respect to the mission-critical applications that most agencies, frankly, haven't moved yet out of the traditional data center?
Well, within the context of the Department of the Interior, as well as the wider perspective of the U.S. government, what we are actively looking at is the consolidating infrastructure activities, consolidating platform activities, and then with a view to business references in the for enterprise architecture, looking at where it makes sense and all that to provide the appropriate delivery for how we do applications. And some of those applications will rise up to be the critical applications or the critical infrastructure. So in the context of the Federal Data Center Consolidation Initiative, we are committed to closing 40% of the existing data centers within the U.S. government. We have, as the chair of the Federal Data Center Consolidation Initiative, we are in the process of identifying what are the core data centers as well as what the non-core data centers are, and we're on the mark and all that for closing down the non-core data centers. So there's a variety of mechanisms that we're using to close down those core non-data centers. Some of those are moving into the core facilities that we have within the individual departments. Some of those are looking at other agencies where they might have the availability, or they'll have the appropriate service level agreements in place so that we can move our applications or our infrastructure or our platforms to those particular activities. And a third option that we're looking at is the movement to the cloud, and looking at the variety of opportunities that cloud provides us. If we work in the context of the cloud service providers getting the appropriate security accreditations and all of that, is we're feeling very comfortable about assuring that the reliability and the security is there for any of the applications that we're going to be moving.
All right, and I want to talk to Jeff Porter from Fairfax County, because county government may not be federal, but Fairfax has 1 million people. So I imagine you have pretty extensive data facilities, and what's your plan there to try to get that rationalized in some manner?
Well, thank you. What we did about 5 years ago, we actually developed our own internal cloud. And on our consolidation effort, we went from 900 physical servers down to about 36 servers running virtualization on those with about 500 applications on them. And when we started out, we looked at what are our critical apps, and what we started looking at is what are our enterprise apps. In Fairfax County, we have about 50-something agencies, which all have different lines of businesses. But across the spectrum, there's schemes like the financial system everybody shares, the email systems. So those were some of the first ones that we moved out. Our tax revenue collection was one of the first ones we moved out as well. So we put those in. We have only 2 data centers in Fairfax right now, so we didn't have to shrink so far down. But those are both connected by fiber. We have our own fiber in the ground, so we lit our own fiber. So we have cross-utilization between those 2 data centers and failover across those.
All right. And Sean Torpy, Director of Infrastructure and Operations Services at the FAA. FAA, of course, everything you do is mission critical. I mean, it's you're supporting things that matter to life and death and a great economic importance. And the FAA also has a critical infrastructure, a critical application modernization going of long-term duration. So a lot happening there. What are you doing about the underlying infrastructure right now to try to meet that future?
Yeah, we have a lot of challenges at this point. And so what we've really done is to really taken an enterprise look at how we're going to approach this. And we are separated by the NAS, or the National Airspace System, and then also the non-NAS and the administrative support of the agency and what have you. So what we did was we really got aggressive on looking at the non-NAS assets and tenants that could possibly migrate to the cloud. We have a large cloud offering that's going to be coming out later on this month, by the end of this month. And so we're putting a lot of stock into that as far as supporting FDCCI, and then also migrating a lot of our non-NAS applications over into the cloud. And then we're taking a look at our NAS applications, or our separation of aircraft type of applications, and seeing how that would work in the cloud. We've got some security requirements that we have to above and beyond the FedRAMP requirements within the federal space. We have NAS security requirements that we have to adhere to. So we're taking a really hard look at our inventory and our portfolios to see what makes the most sense. But we're committed to consolidating our data centers and really looking at cloud first as when we're making decisions on new applications and looking at rehosting options for our existing portfolio.
All right, so cloud first and consolidation. And that brings me to John Kunzier, forward marketing leader at Unisys. What are the top considerations that people should have when thinking about those mission critical apps and moving them to, say, a cloud situation or to a virtualized situation that may be in a different or remote data center?
So that's a great question. When we look at it, some of the research that we've done from a mission critical perspective, our customers are really concerned about security and performance. Those were really the top two aspects of where I'm going to move, regardless of whether that was a private cloud that's in my own on my own premises, or I'm going out to a hosted solution. So really, when we begin to look at that application, it becomes what's important for the application versus what hardware or what platform should it sit on. I think as we go into what I would call more of a utility-based data center environment that's more cloud-like, we really need to begin to look at deploying by attribute versus deploying by infrastructure platform. So again, look at the infrastructure that is right for the attributes around security, around performance, reliability, and access, so that we're really developing really a different idea. I think many organizations that I talk to, whether they're in federal, state, local, or even commercial, are so tied to that legacy platform mentality that we really need to kind of break that with the cloud environment and think about the world based on attribute. And as providers of infrastructure, delivering that kind of attribute-based environment.
All right, we're going to get more about that, but I wanted to ask Jason Kimry, Director of Federal Sales at Intel. John mentioned the idea of performance, and I think cloud is often sold as something for security, something for lower cost of infrastructure, something for scalability. But you don't hear about performance as much, but yet the cloud could be physically distant relative to the data center that it might replace. So there must be performance issues over the network and so forth. So how do you plan for good performance when thinking about applications that might move to a remote cloud location with all the other benefits it gets?
So I think, from an Intel standpoint, we try to look at the data center and the data center products that we produce, very holistically. And, while we're a CPU company and, primarily focused on increasing the performance of the system, certainly network and network bandwidth is a major issue, especially as you look towards remote data centers and the like. So I think it really comes into looking at the complete architecture, taking into all those considerations and really making the determination whether or not moving to a public cloud that is remotely located from your facility actually makes good business sense, because there are trade-offs that you have to make, and you have to think about proximity, but also the way that the applications are architected and whether or not, what types of performance degradation you might actually see.
But it is possible to overcome some of those things. You can get performance that's LAN quality in a cloud remote situation nowadays?
Yes, certainly. I think it just depends on the way that the applications are architected. I don't think it's not the, you know, the distance isn't the gating factor that it once was.
All right. And Bernie from Interior, I wanted to ask you, too, about legacy systems, because implicit in all of this change is the idea that you may have a panoply of different operating systems, Unix, possibly AS400 even, might even, I don't know, it's still running in the federal government. But there's a lot of legacy systems, and it's probably a good time when you consolidate to think about moving those to some modern platform. How do you approach that one?
Well, what we've approached, and Tom, it goes back to earlier, which you're using the term of mission-critical applications. And we'll get into a bit of how do we characterize something that's mission-critical. And so we have different reporting requirements in terms of what we say are mission-critical systems, whether it's, you know, related to the critical infrastructure of the nation, whether it's related to whatever the mission driver is of that. We formally have identified about 240 applications that we do formal reporting on. When we are examining, as a part of the data center consolidation initiative of our 400 data centers, we are following the application. And so we followed a process of application rationalization of looking at what applications could be cloud ready or which applications could be portable to another data center or to another operating environment. Many of the applications within the Department of the Interior, as a result of where we are pursuing the data consolidation, data center consolidation, is we identify 2,000 applications. We see about 300 of them are portable to moving out to a cloud or having an alternate delivery of where they're going on that. We're not so much bound on quite a few of the applications as to what the particular operating system is. What we're looking at is if you do the old traditional ISO types of models as to with the application layer as well as the delivery layer and all that with the communications and all that, those are the things that we're pursuing. So we've got a variety of things of even like as we're looking at within the Unisys or the in Intel. It's not really so much about when we're looking at a cloud offering or saying we can have a hosted place, is that what the operating system constraints are. It is what we are as looking as the provider is we've got this content and data that we need to have promulgated or being offered and all that. How can you do this for us?
So you look at it almost from a logic standpoint or an application delivery standpoint and less from an OS and plumbing aspect.
Well, the plumbing is necessary and all that. You know, looking given the context of the recent weather, we don't want frozen pipes. So,
true enough. And that 3,000 applications, is this also an opportunity to maybe retire some of them too while you're at it?
Well, what we're looking at is in the pursuit of identifying where the applications are. We're pursuing this from an enterprise architecture. So we're following a business segment architecture, and we're dividing or characterizing our applications or how we deliver content and data through whether it's a mission domain area, whether through it's a supporting business area like financial management or HR systems, or whether it's through infrastructure activities. And the infrastructure activities is whether it's platform as a service, infrastructure as a service, testing and development environment, storage, and those requirements.
Okay, and Jeff, you said it at Fairfax, one of the earliest to move to the internal cloud was tax revenues. And that sounds like it took a lot of guts to move something so critical to a county. So how did you do that? And especially, what were the security implications of switching platforms and moving the whole process?
Well, it was a necessity for us. With the tax revenue system, that's where all the tax payments come into. So we were single-threaded in one data center. If that failed, then we couldn't take revenue in. So what we ended up doing was taking two systems and put them across two different data centers. Not so risky, but the cost of getting that up and the complexity of the infrastructure, where if one side failed, it would automatically fail over to the other side, and we can continue to process business in the county, and our constituents wouldn't know the difference. So really, it's about a 15-second delay, and all of a sudden, it comes back up. So that was the one big thing.
So you got more security as a result of moving.
More security. We're within our own data center, so we didn't go out. So we got more security, more reliability, and got a better efficiency.
So what makes the internal cloud not just another data center? You call it internal cloud. What are the characteristics that make
We actually built our cloud with 54 different agencies that we represent. It's almost like 54 businesses under one roof. We started building shared services for people to go up and they can workflow stuff through. They all can see the same thing. This big initiative started way back when we had the swine flu, the bird flu, and all the different things that came on. And we had all these remote users, and we wanted to give them the same user interface coming in so they can still perform their job, whether at work or at home. And it really played dividends a couple of years ago when we had the big snowstorm, and our county was shut down for several days, along with the federal government, that everybody was still able to work from home and still continue. Because the citizens still require us to do business, even though we're so-called closed. We're never really closed. We're 24/7. We still provide services 24/7 with the citizens.
All right, we've got a lot of ground to cover, but we're going to take a short break now. Our guests today are Bernie Mazur, CIO of the Interior Department, Jeff Porter, Director of Platform Technologies in the CIO Office of Fairfax County, John Kunzier, Forward Marketing Leader at Unisys, Sean Torpy, Director of Infrastructure and Operations Services at the FAA, and Jason Kimmery, Director of Federal Sales at Intel. I'm your moderator, Tom Temin. This is Consolidating Mission Critical Systems in Today's Public Sector Environment, a panel discussion sponsored by Unisys and Intel on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.